ecologicsurvey.org. Coming up next is Ecologic. And we have a biologist on talking about coronavirus and how it's affecting everything. So stay tuned right here. And followed by Gary Noel.
It whole again. I believe we can make it whole. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. A pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry.
See a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Abby Hafer.
Oh, hi.
Are you Donna?
Yeah, but where is Ken?
Okay, I'm glad to check in with Donna. He told me about you yesterday. I'm Abby, and I don't know where Ken is.
The show is on right now, and he is having technical problems. So let's just, I don't know
okay.
if we're going on the air because I don't
yeah,
have...
Yeah, you are going on the air.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Hi, everybody. Let's start.
Okay. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Osteen.
And this is Ecologic for March 17th, 2020, here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. When your air or water is clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
The WBAI Fund Drive is over. But you can still help WBAI and Ecologic by going to www.give2wbai.org. Type eco-logic into the search box at www.give2wbai.org. On today's news and announcements,
our body as an ecosystem,
a mainstream media verbal coup,
nuclear industry running scared.
Two big eco anniversaries. all ecosystems have things in common, whether they're a woods, the beach, a meadow, the deep sea, whatever. There are many organisms trying to stay alive and reproduce. If they stay alive at the expense of another organism, the prey evolves defenses or doesn't survive. Our bodies are an ecosystem with hundreds of species of microbes. The coronavirus is just one of them. As Dr. Ali said last Wednesday evening, it has its weapons and we have ours. Viruses are constantly evolving to stay alive, and our immune systems are constantly evolving to deal with that. We need to help our body's immune systems constantly evolving to deal with. We need to help our body's immune system eat healthy, get enough sleep, quit smoking, all the things Gary Null and Dr. Ali tell you to do.
The coronavirus doesn't like heat. Heat kills it. So maybe it will die off in warm weather, or maybe it will become dormant until the weather cools down again, or maybe it will just continue. No one knows yet. So when it gets warm, try to use fans instead of air conditioning for as long as you can stand it.
You save money and save your health at the same time.
Yeah.
Every time there is a legislation passed or proposed that will pollute air or water or ruin the balance of nature, mainstream corporate news often says environmentalists are opposed. That's it. Not why we're opposed or anything like that, though they'll talk about why the people who want more pollution think it's a good idea. They're pulling off quite a verbal coup when they do that. Not only is the story not balanced, but it paints environmentalists as some sort of separate species from everybody else. Yet every single poll ever made asking if people think we should spend more money or less money to clean or keep clean the air and water or protect wildlife or support renewable energy, that poll shows overwhelming support for environmental issues. So obviously, we are mainstream, whether they want to admit it or not. When they say environmentalists are opposed, we should interpret it as almost everyone is opposed.
The nuclear industry is running scared. They can see how they're being replaced by renewable energy and energy efficiency and are trying to divorce themselves from other poison powers such as coal and methane and get themselves legally linked up with actual renewable energy. They have spent a fortune, money they get from us, by the way, to get articles into mainstream press and are joining the memberships of environmental groups, even going to their meetings and being active on their e-lists. Imagine getting paid to go to a meeting. Anyway, they're repeating their big lies over and over, ignoring all the people who died at Three Mile Island and Fukushima, ignoring all the routine radiation emissions, ignoring the environmental justice aspect, and ignoring the massive amount of energy needed to keep the nuclear waste cool. Every time someone somewhere reports the billions in cost overruns for the new nuclear plants or complains about bailouts, they rev up their propaganda machine to drown us out. And they are mostly succeeding, but not on this show and rarely on this station.
In 11 days is the anniversary of the Exxon Valdez oil spill and the Three Mile Island nuclear meltdown. Last year, that was the 10th. Almost none of the big green organizations marked either anniversary, even those groups working on similar issues. These anniversaries remind us that our addiction to poison power has to end. Renewable sources of energy have to be substituted. And most importantly, our building codes need to be fixed to stop the waste of energy. Passive house building techniques have proved that typical construction waste, about 90% of the energy that we buy to go into them. It's all connected. Look up Passive House on YouTube or a search engine. Passive House. We've done shows on it. You can look in our archives and get more information that way.
Environment TV airs on Manhattan Neighborhood Network every other Sunday at 11 a.m. and is often a video version of Ecologic, such as this coming Sunday at 11 a.m. If you miss any WBAI show, it should be on the WBAI.org archives 5 or 10 minutes after the show ends. To read the full articles we summarize on any episode of Ecologic from the past few years, we link to all those articles on the EcoLinks page of the Ecologic website, www.ecoradio.org, ecoradio.org.
Our Facebook page is WBAI Ecologic, no spaces or dashes, WBAIECOLOGIC. And please click like. There are links to more environmental shows on our Eco-Links page.
www.ecoradio.org is the main Ecologic page, and that'll get you to past guests, the Eco-Links page, and our own permanent archives. Ecoradio.org will get you there. Keep that site bookmarked in case the Pacifica bylaws get changed and Ecologic is canceled. Donna, Charlie, and I will keep going. And today we're talking to Dr. Abby Hafer, who teaches biology at a nursing college in Massachusetts. Very important distinction, I think, that she's teaching at a nursing college, Curry College, because she is teaching the next generation of healthcare professionals, and who knows how much longer they will have to deal with the coronavirus. It could go away or it could continue. And so she is very much up on things. So welcome to WBAI, Abby.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Donna. I should just put in a note that the small college where I work, Curry College, is actually a four-year liberal arts college, but it has a very strong nursing program. And I mostly teach human anatomy and physiology, so most of my students want to become nurses.
Mm-hmm. And so are people overhyping the emergency with coronavirus?
Absolutely not. This is a genuine, honest-to-gosh health emergency. We have definitely not seen the worst of it yet. I spoke to some friends of mine who are physicians, and what one of them told me here was, hang on as I pull this up, the Diamond Princess, which was that that cruise ship, was an experiment in nature. There was there were 3,711 passengers plus crew, 696 infections despite vigorous self-quarantining. Now, I will add that there are sort of more numerous routes of transmission on a cruise ship even when people stay in their rooms. But my friend goes on, there have been 7 deaths so far. It gives a fair idea of the risk to the public. If you look at the curves for Italy and the United States, they match very closely. Italy got started 11 days before we did, so we have an 11-day forecast. And if you've been following the news from Italy, you will know that all of the precautions we are taking now are certainly not the result of overhype. I also have a note from a friend of mine who is an emergency room doctor. And that individual has said, as a general announcement, don't hog all the protective gear. My colleagues and I don't have it to take care of people. I asked, does that mean things like the N95 masks? Anything else? And the person replied, all masks. I then asked, I have read that emergency room doctors are now dying of COVID-19. Did they have hazmat suits? And the individual replied, we don't. So we have doctors, including ER doctors, who do not have hazmat suits, who are doing heroic work right now. They are treating us. They will be treating people as they get sick. There will be waves of sick people going into hospitals. You know, I thank my colleagues who are physicians in advance, and the best that we can do for them, in addition to not hogging the protective equipment, is to do everything we can do to keep from getting sick ourselves so as to make sure that hospital beds are reserved for the people who do get sick, who wind up becoming very sick who need it. And what I have read, and the numbers have held up pretty well, is that about 20% of the people who get this particular coronavirus wind up needing hospitalization. And it is a very contagious virus. Therefore, if you have lots of people who get sick at the same time and 20% of them need hospitalization, for instance, in order to be assisted with breathing, then that means that you are going to have overwhelmed health facilities. And, of course, that is what we are worried about. That is what Governor Cuomo was just on TV talking about. And so, you know, this is what we have to do as citizens to try and help out. It's just basically do everything you can to avoid contact with other people, because we pretty much have to assume that anyone we meet may have the virus. One thing that's important to realize is that the virus can be asymptomatic for several days.
What does that mean?
What that means is you could actually have the virus right now, and you might be walking around feeling fine, doing fine, but at the same time, that apparently is a time when you are shedding the viruses, meaning basically releasing them into your environment. That's a time when you're doing a lot of releasing viruses into the environment, and you don't realize that you have this virus.
Well, Abby,
and this is one of the reasons why it's such a problem.
Yeah. Well, case in point, the reason I am calling into the show today rather than there in the studio is because more than likely I am stricken with the coronavirus myself right now.
And
I thought I was going to go and get tested today, and I said, wait a minute, no, I'm not going to go endanger anyone else by doing this. The only reason I'm not coughing right now is because I'm sipping tea continually while I'm talking here. So so it's not proven, because when I first went for the testing, there weren't that many tests around, and the clinic I went to tested me for flu. I didn't have the flu, didn't have a cold. And they wouldn't test me for the virus because I didn't have 105 temperature. Give me a break. If I had 105 temperature,
wow,
I couldn't have gotten to my front door.
Right.
So they may test me now. I called up a number, and you might, I think I will advertise this right now. There's the New York State Corona hotline. And let me give that number out. It's 1-888-364-3065. They're very nice at the Corona hotline. Let me give that again. I know Ken is saying that to himself right now.
You're right.
1-888-364-3065. And they're very helpful, except that they said that they will send somebody to test me, but that was days ago, so who knows how backed up they are. But it's ironic that we're doing the show today with you, Abby, because I'm listening intensely, and the nice woman at the Corona Hotline is probably listening in now, too.
Wow.
Wow.
And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. If you came in recently and you think, oh, my God, I have friends who should be listening to this, they can go to WBAI.org and they can listen to the station right now. And so, Abby, you mentioned that right before the spring break, which was extended for your students, you were predicting things about the coronavirus. What were you predicting?
Well, I was predicting that it was going to come here, and it was going to be bad. I looked at what happened in China. I looked at what happened in Italy. And, you know, I knew it was going to happen here That much is clear, and as was echoed by my physician friend of mine, at this point it's pretty clear that we have about an 11-day head start on Italy. Now, obviously, we are a larger country, which means that different places are going to, you know, start having their outbreaks at different times. New York is an unfortunate hotspot right now, as you know. In Boston, and I'm going to say this as kind of an interesting warning, in Boston, we got lucky the first time. We actually had a student, not when I say we, I mean someone in Boston, not at my little college. Mm-hmm. But there was a student in Boston who came back from China, and that individual realized that they had the disease, and they self-isolated for 2 weeks. And we got lucky. That did not result in an outbreak. So we were very fortunate the first time around. Unfortunately, then there was the now infamous Biogen conference, which was, you know, a conference where people came from all over the country, mixed together. There was exposure to the virus there. And unfortunately, the place where the meeting was held is also just sort of a social gathering spot for people in the city of Boston. It's near the waterfront and things like this. So as a result, lots of people were exposed at that hotel during that time. The conference attendees have now gone back home. The people who were, you know, in the lobby at the time having a drink at the bar or whatever have gone back to their houses. And at this point, you know, the city of Boston and the state of Massachusetts are also hunkering down in anticipation of this. In my little town in Bedford, out in the suburbs, there was somebody who was at that conference. They are now in self-quarantine. But basically, even before the more general shutdowns, the Board of Health in my little town did the right thing and in rapid succession, you know, closed down non-essential meetings, closed the library. Closing the schools is a bigger decision because some kids are food insecure and they depend upon their school lunches, and it's much harder to expect a six-year-old to learn to read through online learning.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually the schools as well were closed down. So we are already doing our best to try and basically keep transmission of the disease to a minimum so that we don't overwhelm our hospital beds. So we're doing that already. As I said, here in eastern Massachusetts, we dodged a bullet the first time, but then, you know, we got it badly the second time.
I'd like to urge everyone, when they have a chance, to go to the WBAI.org archives. And on the screen, on the left, it'll say "Miss the Show." And click on that and go to last Wednesday, March 11th at 9 p.m., and listen to Dr. Ali talk about the coronavirus. It's not all bad news because we have our immune system that's evolving to combat this, even while the virus itself is evolving so that it can beat our immune system. But he did mention that he had written a book about the epidemic of 1918. And he was sort of looking at the book again because he wrote it a number of years ago, and he said, "Oh my goodness, the beginning of the epidemic in 1918 is what they call the Spanish flu, I think they called it,
right,
is awfully similar to what's been going on with coronavirus right now." And that scared him. And Dr. Ali is not somebody who scares easily. He's dealt with a lot of things. So I thought, you know, that of all the things he said, may have been the strongest, the one to repeat the most. But he does talk about how to deal with it. And there's an article in Science News magazine about a conference in Germany that a woman from China went to and spread the virus there. And most of the people at that conference who got coronavirus did recover from it. It's not like you're automatically going to die if you get it. But you really got to be healthy.
Yeah, actually, that's a very important point. In the numbers that I gave you, as I said, and these numbers are holding up reasonably well, though I will, you know, add the caveat that obviously what we know is changing all the time because we're constantly getting new numbers that we can analyze. But it looks as though, as I said, about 20% of the cases are severe enough to require hospitalization. That means that 80% of the cases, you know, you can weather at home, and you may be miserable or it may not affect you very much. So, you know, it varies a great deal from person to person. People with compromised immune systems get it worse. And the particularly scary news for people like me is that the fatality rates change a great deal with age. And I'm looking in my notes here. I gave a lecture on this. I knew this was coming before spring break, which was last week. So I gave my my nursing students, or my hope to become nursing students, a quick lecture about the coronavirus. And which the disease, by the way, is officially called COVID-19, in case you didn't know that. And there are many different coronaviruses. This just happens to be the one that is getting us now.
Right. SARS was a coronavirus, right?
That is correct, yes.
So there's many species of this.
Right. There are many species of coronaviruses. This particular one has a bunch of names. It is called either novel coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2. Or sometimes 2019-nCoV. But it is the one that causes the disease we are calling COVID-19. But yes, there are other coronaviruses out there, including the one that caused SARS. This particular illness has a lot of similarities to SARS. But here are the death rates as of a couple of weeks ago. Basically, in the 0 to 9 age range, there were not any recorded deaths, or if there were any, they were so few as to register as none as a percentage rate. For people 10 to 19 years old, the death rate, I'm not talking about illness rate or anything like that, but the death rate is 0.2%, so very low. 20 to 29 years old is 0.2%. 30 to 39 years old is 0.2%. 40 to 49 years old is 0.4%. And from 50 to 59 years old, the death rate is 1.3%. Then it starts getting bad. For 60 to 69-year-olds, the death rate is about 3.6%. For 70 to 79-year-olds, the death rate is 8%. And for people over 80 years old who get this, the death rate is 14.8%.
Well, that's why young people who might think that they're safe have to remember they still have parents and grandparents that they can spread it to. So no one should be not aware of the dangers. I always knew that. I always figured that if I got it, with my strong immune system and my healthy lifestyle, that I would only get it mild. I just didn't expect it. And it has thrown me for a loop for more than a week now. And I'm in the one of the leader categories. I'm a strong senior, but I'm sticking around, guys. I'm not going anywhere. I'm too stubborn for that. But it's just a matter of waiting it out. What do you have in your knowledge there, Abby, that of how long people have it before they get over it? What's the threshold?
Oh, that's something we're still learning, to be honest.
Right.
I have heard 2 weeks, but, you know, don't take that as the latest in knowledge because it keeps changing.
Well, I'm more than 8 days now, probably nine. So
how are you feeling right now?
A little feverish. The fever has been slight all this time, anywhere from normal to 102.5. Today it's only 100.4, I think. I must say that I am a little obsessive about taking my temperature, and that's okay.
Well, I'm looking at the article in Science News about that conference in Germany, and it was mostly about the incubation period of coronavirus, how long people were asymptomatic before they showed symptoms. So they're not saying how long these people had it before they got over it. But I keep seeing the dates in the article, January 26th and February 6th. So that might be how long the people who had it.
Yeah, well, and one tricky thing, getting back to what I was saying earlier, is that this asymptomatic period, when you can have the virus and be giving the virus to others, can last from 10 days to 2 weeks itself. Or not 10 days, 2 days to 10 weeks. I'm sorry, 2 days to 2 weeks, you can be asymptomatic when you don't know you have it, but you can give it to others. That's one of the reasons, you know, speaking evolutionarily, that's one of the reasons why this virus is so successful, evolutionarily speaking, is because it has this asymptomatic period when it can be spread because people do not know that they are ill. Remember, new diseases are always a result of evolution. It came to light in that area of China around Wuhan, but the point is this virus evolved. A few small mutations of viral RNA has caused a worldwide change in everything we're doing. Whole industries and economies are being affected, as well as many, many human lives. And this is all the result of evolution. The virus evolved. It can now invade a new host. That's us. And because it has its asymptomatic period, it means that it spreads easily, not only because it is very contagious, meaning that people pick it up easily, but also because people can be walking around not realizing that they are ill and giving it to other people. Asymptomatic periods are sort of a sneaky evolutionary advantage for a virus. It's the reason why the AIDS virus, HIV, managed to infect so much of the world. It was because in that case, there could be an asymptomatic period of years. With this one, it is only days, but it is nonetheless the same general phenomenon of being spread because people do not realize they are sick.
We're listening to Dr. Abigail Hafer from Curry College talking about the science behind the coronavirus and what we can do about it. The more information and knowledge we have, the better armed we are to combat this virus, and it's very important. And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. We are here doing environmental programming every Tuesday from 11 a.m. until Gary Null at noon. And today the ecosystem is full of this virus, and so it felt it was important on our first 11 a.m. show since Ecology began in 2002 to deal with that. And one of the things that I was talking with Abby yesterday about what we were going to talk about today, and you mentioned that in Boston they're cutting down on the subways, which means that social distancing will be much more difficult for anybody who has to take a subway.
Yeah, this is something I don't understand. I mean, obviously, fewer people are going to work physically now, and that is a very good thing. But what I remember hearing, and, you know, the news changes every day. I may be behind on this. But what I recall hearing in an announcement from the mayor of Boston was that they were going to be cutting down on the number of subway schedule. I'll put it that way. And they seem to think that this would help with social distancing, which makes no sense to me. It would seem to me that you would want riders well spaced out in cars so that they can practice what is being called social distancing, which means staying about 6 feet away from other people, because this virus is spread through what is called droplet transmission. Basically, viruses are so small that they really have a different relationship to gravity from things that are larger like us. But in this particular case, this particular kind of virus is generally embedded in respiratory droplets. They can be, you know, big mucousy ones if you cough or sneeze, but also even just as you are exhaling, that condensation or that evaporation from your lungs that is always a part of our exhaling. Viruses are contained in that, but because there is this water around it, it does mean that they will eventually settle down. They will eventually settle out. And staying about 6 feet away from people means that you are not, generally speaking, going to come into contact with their respiratory droplets by breathing them in. The problem is that those respiratory droplets settle down onto surfaces. And that is why the surface-to-face transmission is such a problem. This is why surfaces should be disinfected. This is why you need to stop touching your face. This is why we're being constantly told to wash our hands. That's actually really good advice, along with the hand sanitizer, because this particular kind of virus, the coronaviruses, have what is called a lipid membrane. And for those of you who took chemistry, you know that soap can mess with lipids and so can alcohol. It has to do with what is soluble in what. So in any case...
You mean rubbing alcohol, right? Not the alcohol you drink.
It's all alcohol.
It's
actually.
All alcohol, okay.
Now, people are saying a 70% solution, so you're going to need to get strong drinking alcohol. but the point is, surfaces can be disinfected with 70% alcohol. They can also be disinfected with Clorox, Lysol. All of those things actually work pretty well. But in terms of your hands, the alcohol-based hand sanitizers work pretty well, but you really have to work them in and give them plenty of time to air dry and such. And soap and water works very well as well. That's why all this harping on hand washing is actually good advice. I personally never leave the house without gloves on my hands. And that's partially so that there is something else touching all those surfaces, but also as a reminder to not touch my face.
Mm.
And that works pretty well. So yeah, that's another thing to consider doing, and you don't need examination gloves. I went out and got some gardening gloves that have a pretty good touch to them, and I got a couple of pairs so that I have one that I wash each, you know, basically one pair is washed each night, and the other pair goes out with me for the day.
Sure.
So, you know, that's another possibility as well, but the point is, it is those surfaces the viruses settle down onto that are going to be the problem. When you go out, I mean, not out into the open air where there should be plenty of, you know, there's going to be less surface problems there because there is wind and things like that. But certainly any indoor surfaces where people pass through, just assume there are viruses there. Try to keep from touching them. If you do touch them, wash your hands. All of that kind of stuff is actually really good advice.
And Let's take some listener phone calls. I'm sure people have questions and would love to be here to ask them. So they can do that on the phone. The number here is 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Somebody must have had us on speed dial because they're right here. You're on the air. Oh,
okay, sorry. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm curious about this period where you're asymptomatic. My question about that is, does that mean that for that period of time, your immune system itself is not recognizing that you have been invaded with a virus?
Mm. That's a great question.
That's a very good question, and probably not. It probably just means that the virus, and again, this is something where physicians are welcome to chime in on this, and epidemiologists, but there are some viruses that simply have asymptomatic periods. As I said, it's kind of a useful evolutionary strategy. But then when the virus gets going, that is what makes you feel sick, though it is also true that your immune response can make you feel miserable as well.
Okay, 212-209-2877. Although the way the phones are lighting up, I don't think we'll get to everybody, but you're on the air.
Hello?
Yep, that's you.
Hello?
Hi, do you have a question for...
Yes, I do have a question. The question is... What type of resolution? Yes.
Don't listen to your radio. Listen to your phone. Turn the radio off.
What type of resolution are we moving towards? I am. What type of resolution are we moving towards for the future?
What type of resolution?
Yeah, how is this going to end up? She's wondering if you could...
How's this going to end up? Well, that remains to be seen. All the business of closing stuff is a really, really good idea. Basically, here's what's going to happen. The disease is going to hit. It's already hit New York City. It's going to hit everywhere. And it's only a question of when. And the main question is, as I said, how fast the number of cases ramps up in any given area, particularly compared to how many hospital beds you have available for those who are really, really sick. So how this all plays out is partly in our hands, but is also partly where we're just going to have to adapt day by day and watch what happens. We don't know how it's all going to pan out yet.
Right, and politically, this is a choice of people or the economy. And most of the decision makers, most of them, are choosing people over the economy, which is an important distinction. Because, of course, if people are going to be dying at a huge percentage, that's going to mess up the economy, too. So in the long range, that's good for the economy as well. And I'm just going to take calls at random. There are so many of you. You're on the air.
Oh, great. Let me turn down my radio.
Yes, please do. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Am I on the radio?
Yep, you're on.
Hi, great show. I'm really appreciating the information. I'm a retired nurse, and I have been exposed at a conference, so I've been in quarantine. A telehealth MD said, absolutely, you need to get tested, and this is the problem. Nobody's following through with calling me, and I can't get through to the emergency room uptown where they're doing this testing. So, and I've also called that Department of Health hotline twice, and they took my information, and I've never heard from them. So, it's just so sad to me, being a retired nurse, once a nurse, always a nurse, even though I've changed professions. Mm-hmm. It is so sad to me that our health system is this broken down. And I am considering, I booked into New Rochelle. You have to be, a resident of New Rochelle to go through that drive-through. And I'm hearing that someplace in Connecticut. So this is pathetic that the doctor said, get tested. He heard how I've been exposed and have some symptoms, which are improving. So I'm thinking of going to Connecticut to get tested.
Wow.
So
I've heard that's what some people are doing. Yeah.
And, yeah, Charlie Olson, who was with Environment TV and a former nurse himself, he wanted to know if you can get a repeat sickness. In other words, you get coronavirus, you recover from it. Can you get it again?
I have seen one article to that effect. I have not seen follow-up on that. So, you know, I don't know what the latest on that is. And obviously we are learning more every day. You know, if people have references for stuff that's, you know, that's more recent than about 2 weeks ago, I'd love to hear about it. As I said, I read one article about that at the time where it said it, you know, it may be possible to get it again, but I would not go with it on the basis of one article.
Wow. And I'll keep taking calls until we have to leave here in a few more minutes. And you are on the air.
Hey, thank you. How are you? Appreciate you being on the air. Just like to ask for disinfectants and, you know, for sanitizing, is ammonia good?
Not that I recall. There is a website on the EPA, and I can send it along to Ken, and it can be posted. There's a website on the EPA that tells you about disinfectants. I will be happy to send that along.
And I'll put it on the Ecolinks page as soon as I get it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. 212-209-2877. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Calling to ask, is it known whether having...
Speak up, please.
Yes. Is it known whether having the virus and recovering from it imparts immunity?
Well, the answer there is it should. That's what happens in most cases. As I said, I have, with most diseases, I should say, I read one article that suggested that maybe that doesn't take place here, but that would be very unusual. In general, what happens is that essentially the reason you get sick is because your general immune system that attacks anything from the outside. If your general immune system cannot get rid of whatever is trying to make you sick, then you wind up getting sick, and it takes a while for your specific immune system, as it is known, to gear up to making antibodies. Antibodies are basically little protein robots that are very specific to a specific disease. And so we hope, what usually happens is that once you start making antibodies, you usually get better. Not always. Sometimes the virus win, or the disease, whatever it is, wins anyway. But usually once we start making antibodies, we're in with a chance. And once our body knows how to make that particular kind of antibody for that particular illness, that is what confers immunity to that illness in the future. It's your own immune system having learned how to make antibodies for that specific illness. So the way that most illnesses work is that once you are exposed, you are then, if you recover, then you should be immune for quite some time to come, sometimes for the rest of your life. One would hope that that's what's going to happen here, but at this point we're learning every day about sort of the consequences of this disease. So I'm not going to give you a hard and fast yes, you'll be immune after that, but that is what usually happens. Of course, diseases can mutate, which is why we still have strains of the flu kicking around every single year.
Is that how vaccines are done?
That is how vaccines are done. Vaccines are basically an exposure to a weakened or even dead form of the pathogen, that's to say the thing that wants to make you sick, the disease-causing microorganism. So, yeah, vaccines basically give you a very, very mild case of the illness. so that your body, your immune system, learns how to deal with it really effectively.
Okay.
But that's also why first exposure, whether it's through a vaccination or through getting ill and recovering, usually confers immunity onto an individual for that particular disease.
And we have time for maybe one or two more calls. 212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
And we have time for maybe one or two.
Turn your radio down.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Okay, I just wanted to know what's going to go for the near future for these symptoms for COVID-19, and when can we stop social distancing?
We touched on that already, that we're still finding out the details on we're still learning.
Yeah, still learning. 212-209-2877, you're on the air.
Yeah, can I get through?
You're on. You're in.
Okay.
What is your question for Dr. Hafer?
Well, for the doctor?
Yep.
Well, you can ask anybody.
I really wanted to make a statement about why we're in this mess.
We're on this. No. I don't want to get into that. There's too many calls to go into something like that. 212-209-2877. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if people who have gone through the coronavirus and now have antibodies through it, is there a way to make transfusions or something, like take their blood and then use it to treat other people? And why haven't we done that in the past, if that's a method of treating diseases?
I have been reading something recently about certain individuals, you know, working in ERs and this kind of thing, who are being treated with antibodies. I don't know the details. I couldn't tell you. I do remember that it used to be, if you traveled overseas, you could get something that was called a gamma globulin shot, which was basically a ramping up of your immune system, which was temporary. It was not a lifelong acquired immunity, unfortunately, but it was basically a short-term sort of juicing of your own system for a while. I don't know if that is still given anymore or not. It's been decades since I read about it.
Yeah, I don't know if you got the article I forwarded you that people are claiming that Cuba has sent doctors to China and Korea, and they're using interferon to cure this disease. Is that hype?
I have no idea. I mean, interferon-based drugs are used to combat viruses. It has certain properties that are good for treating viruses, having basically the ability to go into a cell, because viruses are sneaky things that are rarely detected, in fact, by your immune system, because most of the time they inhabit your cells, and where your immune things that are circulating in your blood,
because they're that
your
small.
Immune system things basically can't find the viruses when the viruses are hidden in the cells. Interferon can go into your cells and attack the viruses there. So I'm sure that interferon-based drugs are being looked into, but I don't know the state of what the state of play is with drug development on that.
And we are really running out of time. We have a news broadcast at 11:55, and so Abigail Hafer from Curry College, thank you very much for being on Ecologic today.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. I hope I was helpful to people. Thank all of your listeners for me. This was
you
great.
Just did.
I'm happy to come back.
Thank you, Abby. And everybody, remember to support your local listener-sponsored radio station. Go to WBAI.org. Go on the drop-down box and become a BAI buddy for Ecologic.
Yes, please do. We need your support. If you haven't voted on the bylaws, please vote. I'm really afraid that the yes people will vote and Ecologic will be off the air when we just got back to 11. So coming up is news and then Gary Null. And so this is it for Ecologic. And here's a little Steppenwolf to leave the show.
WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York. These are the headlines. I'm Rob Sims. Ohio called off its presidential primary just hours before polls were set to open there and in three other states. An 11th-hour decision, the governor said, was necessary to prevent further fueling the coronavirus pandemic that has paralyzed the nation. Health Director Amy Acton declared a health emergency that would prevent the polls from opening out of fear of exposing voters and volunteer poll workers, many of them elderly, to the virus. Arizona, Florida, and Illinois were proceeding with their presidential primaries. In the state of Maryland, Governor Larry Hogan has announced that their primary election, set for April 28, will be postponed until June 2nd. He has also announced that the special election for the late Elijah Cummings' 7th District U.S. House seat will be held by mail. Officials in seven San Francisco Bay Area counties issued a sweeping shelter-in-place mandate yesterday, affecting about 7 million people, ordering residents to stay at home and go outside only for food, medicine, and outings that are absolutely essential. The order says residents must stay inside and venture out only for necessities for 3 weeks starting today in a desperate attempt by officials to curb the spread of the novel coronavirus. It affects the counties of San Francisco, Marin, Santa Clara, Santa Cruz, San Mateo, Contra Costa, and Alameda, which includes the cities of Berkeley and Oakland. In Southern California, Los Angeles, and San Diego counties, the state's two largest, with a combined 13.4 million people, ordered bars to close and restaurants to stay open only for pickup, drive-through, or delivery orders. San Francisco Mayor London Breed criticized what she called a terrible response by federal officials. Iran's president this morning named the former governor of the city of Najaf as prime minister-designate following weeks of political infighting as Baghdad residents rushed to stock up on supplies hours before a day-long curfew that was set to take hold amid the global COVID-19 pandemic. Adnan Al-Zerfi was appointed premier designate by President Barham Saleh after tense meetings between rival political blocs that went on for weeks without reaching a consensus on a candidate to replace outgoing premier Adil Abdul Mahdi. Hours after the announcement, Iraq's powerful Fatah parliamentary bloc rejected Al-Zerfi's candidacy, signaling a rocky path to government formation for the new premier-designate. Lebanese-run national news agency said a military judge today appealed a verdict by the military tribunal that ordered the release of a Lebanese-American held since September on charges of working for an Israeli-backed militia 2 decades ago. Judge Ghassan Khoury asked the Military Court of Appeals to strike down an earlier ruling in favor of Amir Fakhouri and issue an arrest warrant against him. The NNA reports that he asked Fakhouri to be put on trial again on charges of kidnapping, torturing, and detaining Lebanese citizens, as well as killing and attempting to kill others. Yesterday, Fakhouri was ordered released because more than 10 years had passed since he allegedly tortured prisoners at a jail run by the so-called South Lebanon Army Militia. And one of the former Central Park Five is teaming with an acclaimed children's author on a new adult novel, a new young adult novel, that is, with a personal theme being wrongfully sentenced to prison. Bray and Bray, an imprint of HarperCollins Children's Books, says that Yousef Salaam and author E.B. Zaboy are working together on the book Punching the Air. The book comes out September 1st. Salaam was among five black and Latino teenagers from Harlem who were coerced into confessing to a rape they didn't commit in 1989. They were exonerated in 2002, but not before all had served prison time. They later received a multi-million dollar settlement from New York City. Punching the Air tells of a gifted but troublesome teen, Amal Shaheed, who is convicted of a crime he didn't commit. Weather in New York, a 40% chance of light rain before noontime, mostly cloudy skies, the highs near 54. Current temperature in New York, 45 degrees under light rain. Weather in Washington, a 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy skies, the highs near 67. Chance of rain, 30%. Currently in Washington, 48 degrees is our temperature under mostly cloudy skies. For